All right, welcome to Game of Thrones. I'm someone who.
All right, we're starting over. No, back up. Back up.
For God's sake.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Molly Glover.
Hey, that's me. I'm third.
And we are recording live at Convergence 2014. This is our podcast's second anniversary, our second birthday, whatever you want to call it. And so we have one of our first guests on to record with us live. We have Rebecca Watson from Skep Chicks.
Hey.
Hey, yay, Rebecca.
Rebecca Watson.
Hey.
It has been almost just over 100 episodes since we last had you on our podcast.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Has it been that long?
It has.
Oh, it seems like it was just yesterday. We were crammed into a tiny room.
Oh, my God. That's right. We recorded in the back of the volunteer den that year.
Yeah.
With the massage chairs and stuff. There was it was a little creepy.
There was disgusting things happening in there. You guys don't know what goes on behind the scenes here at Convergence. You don't want to know.
No.
Some
it's
of
a volunteer den of inequity. Yeah.
Bad. Inequity?
Yes, inequity.
There's actually a really...
Things aren't very equal back there, as you all know.
Power structure between masseuse and masseuser. Right.
Well, I'm into S&M, so...
Masseuser?
Inequity is my favorite porn category.
Who's receiving massages?
Yeah, I'll accept that. And so we're going to talk a little Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones!
So, we've already warned our live audience and scared away half of them.
Half of them left.
And
the unsullied have gone.
They've been cut. But this is a warning to anyone who's listening who's not here live. We might spoil some shit for you. So beware.
Yeah, if you listen to our podcast, you know, when we talk about anything. There's always spoilers. So seriously, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, if you haven't read Game of Thrones, like me, you don't want to be here.
Yeah, this is my favorite part. Is that Tim wants to
thing
do this?
Is going
to
be spoiled.
Tim hasn't seen or read shit.
He doesn't even know about the three seashells.
I've
no clue. Doesn't
even... You do know about Bruce Willis being dead the whole time, though, right?
Fuck no. What?
Yeah. Also, he's as Horror High Reborn.
Yeah, exactly.
See,
exactly.
That's exactly
right. Right.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking Game of Thrones.
Sorry, you'll edit in some laughs later.
Yeah. It'll be great. Right.
Sure.
So, Rebecca, did you read before the show started? Or
no,
you...
I started watching the show, and I wrote something on my blog about gender relations in Game of Thrones, and then I forgot about it. And then I was at Dragon Con last year, and you know, when you're a guest at Dragon Con, people just put you on panels here and there. And so I looked at my schedule, and it was like, oh, I have to go to this panel called Women of Westeros. Oh. And I show up, and it was on the literature track. And the very nice woman who runs the lit track had read my blog post, and she's like, I thought this would be fun to talk about. And it was a packed house, and I was like, so FYI. I have not read the books. And they ended up being the sweetest audience, though, because everyone just agreed that they would not spoil things, but it was so cute because we would be talking about, like, they were asking about problematic aspects of the series, and I mentioned, it was just me, by the way. It wasn't a panel, it turned out. It was just me.
Oh my God.
No pressure.
Honestly, though, it was the most fun I think I've ever had on a panel. I really enjoyed it because
we'll see.
The audience was so great and stuff. Oh yeah, present company. Obviously.
Yeah.
the audience was really great, and it was basically like an open discussion between me, the track organizer, and the audience. But it was really cute. So they all agreed at the beginning to not spoil anything, but. I was talking about, you know, problematic aspects, and I was like, well, I got to throw out race as a problematic aspect. And I was talking about how the last episode that had aired was, I think it's called Massa, where Dany is riding, she's crowd surfing the seas
of savior.
Dark-skinned people.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, at some point I said, you know, it's my hope that, you know, this was... done on purpose, and that they're actually just setting her up for a huge fail later. And the whole audience just goes... So it was really adorable because they all just, they were not going to spoil it for me, but you know, their poker faces were just not good. So I started kind of like messing with them, and I'd be like, well, I have to say my favorite character is Tyrion, who never dies. I'm just like looking like for like any change in their face. But so after, and they were like, well, you know, and they were just so sweet. And so they were like, well, you have to read all the books now and then come back next year and we'll do this again. So I was like, okay, I will. So I did.
Yeah.
Right on.
I read them all in like, I read the first one in like 2 days.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is like, do you want to eat? And I'm like, yeah, I finished all of them in about like a month and a half sort of span. And so now, yeah, I'm all caught up.
Right on.
Now you're waiting with the rest of us like a goddamn sucker. Yeah.
Yep. That's right. Yep. It's not pretty.
George.
That man is old and fat. That's my concern.
It's so. Yeah, it's not looking good.
So is Tyrion your favorite character?
No.
Who is your favorite character?
That's hard to say because I like a lot of them for their various aspects. I mean, I'd have to say, though, probably at this point, Sansa is my favorite character.
A lot of people who just watch the show and don't read, like, fucking hate her.
Yeah,
and she's rightfully not a very sympathetic character in the first few books.
She's a simpering idiot.
Yeah,
for a long time. That's all she's ever known.
Yeah,
and that's all she's ever been encouraged to be.
Bit of a Luke Skywalker, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah. Worse even, because like at least Luke Skywalker was like going to train to be a
Luke
Jedi.
Luke Skywalker could kill Womp Rats, right?
He was encouraged to go out and do labor, not like learn to sew and appreciate the finer points of lemon cake flavors, and heraldry.
Especially in the most recent book, I feel like they've got a trajectory for her. And I'm most excited to see what they do with her.
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
She's being groomed for some shit.
And actually, even as of last year, you know, when I was on that panel, we talked a lot about Sansa. And, you know, even having not read the books, actually, I was like, no, I really love her. I don't know. I suspected. I think there was enough built into the show that I got the idea that we are looking at, you know, and remember, like, this whole panel was about, you know, gender in this world. And so it's something that I had thought a good deal about because I don't really have much better to do with my time. and so I had suspected that we were looking at at the time I said something that I've come to sort of change my mind on, but at the time I said, I feel like we're looking at like what Cersei might have been at the very beginning. We since know that, you know, after reading the books, I realized that she was just always horrible. But,
always horrible.
But no, but what my meaning still holds, which is that I think we were looking at the average little girl growing up in an oppressively patriarchal world, who is, you know, coddled, and she's, you know, a actually privileged member of this world in that she's with a family with a lot of power. And because of that, she grows up very coddled and, you know,
she's highborn
and liking all of the things that like a little princess is supposed to like. But then she is thrown into the game and has to learn how to play the game. Or die. Right. She can play the game, she can die, or she can get pregnant and be married off and be miserable.
But there's definitely a very real threat of death to her throughout the series because she's...
A character in a George R. R. Martin book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, beyond that, though, she's she has value being held by others.
She's a pawn at the start of the game.
I would even say that there was a point in the first book, maybe even the first two, where she wouldn't have been bored to death or miserable getting married off and pregnant if it was to a handsome younger guy. Like, I mean, she's so in love with Loras, and
hey, we've all been there, okay? Yeah.
But the idea that there was a time when that was all she would have wanted, and now she's seen too much, and now she knows what's going on, and she wants to be a part of the intrigue now because she realizes that she could be more. Because she really is her mother and her father's daughter.
Yeah. I would argue, though, that at this point in time, she's not starting to play the game well because she sees a future. And that necessarily I think it's really like her only thing. Like, she mm-hmm. realizes that her childish fantasy was that. It
right.
was a childish mm-hmm. fantasy.
Right.
And so now she, you know, and she's watching Littlefinger
yeah.
and she's like, oh, that's how the game is played.
And I yeah. think she likes, I think she has, once she starts, you know, a little bit of lying and a little bit of intrigue, she has a taste for it, and she realizes that it's actually really thrilling. And she enjoys that cloak and dagger aspect of what's going on in the Erie right now.
Her, yeah.
Her dad was never that guy. Her dad was never a politician.
No.
And he lost his head for
and,
it.
Right, yeah.
And
exactly.
she saw it.
But her
yeah.
mom... She saw that stuff in her mom.
Her mom yeah. was very political.
Her mom was a politician, and
that's why, like, the gender aspect is so important to me. Mm-hmm. Like, as a woman in that type of society, those are your options. You become a master of mm-hmm. political intrigue, or you pop out a bunch of babies, yeah. get the shit kicked out of you on the regular, and your life yeah. is miserable.
Well, and see, that's why, so my favorite character is Jaime Lannister, which if people are just starting out, never understand. And so there's, you know, but there's a very turning scene when he is under lock and key and with Catelyn, and they have that conversation about loyalty. And how he, you know, betrayed his king. And it's that whole idea of, so who am I supposed to be loyal to? Loyal to the king, but the king is hurting his subjects. Loyal to the weak, but the weak are rebelling against my family. Loyal
which
to my
oaths
family,
do I
but
keep?
Yeah, which oaths do I keep? And I always liked that he seemed to be the most complicated. I mean, he was born with all the advantages. He's good looking. He's firstborn son. He's incredibly wealthy. He's talented in all of the areas that you're supposed to be talented as a man in that world. And he rejects it all. Because he just wants to be, you know, with the woman he loves. However you feel about that, that doesn't really matter. I don't have a problem with it, but that's just me. And so I think that that I liked about him is that because he actually is flipping that gender, and he gets lambasted a lot by his dad saying, you know, you're the firstborn son, you're supposed to fucking inherit Casterly Rock, like take over the goddamn titles, like marry a woman, get her pregnant, and keep this going. He doesn't want to.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of the intrigue that comes from this world happens when people reject the yeah. patriarchal
rebel.
Status quo. Mm. You know, like, and that's actually what my original blog post had been about. It was right after the Red Wedding.
Ah.
And I was talking about how
I've heard of that.
About how, you know, this entire massacre is predicated on the refusal to adhere to this patriarchal idea of marriage as a woman being given away as a pawn, you know,
yep.
yeah,
yep.
as yeah, just a something to trade in the hopes of future power.
Well, and also this idea that if you have sex with a woman, you have to marry her. Because you have ruined her, you have despoiled her. She is now she is now ruined. And if you don't marry her, then she has no value. That's something that used to make me crazy about the Wall. Was they're like, oh, I will take no wife, and that means I can't fuck you, Grit. No, it doesn't. What is that? What?
Right.
What?
And that
so
does
dumb.
Come up. Eventually, he starts thinking about that.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't gotta get married. You know.
Yeah. I mean, like, now that I did it once,
a night like alone in a cave. I mean, you know, that'll change some minds about oaths. I get it. I'm
But I mean, it's this whole. I think we are seeing. You know, they talk about, you know, winter's coming, and that means that the world, as everyone has known it for so long, for some of them, their entire lives,
yeah.
is going to change. And I think that that's echoing, whether you know Martin means it or not. That's echoing throughout the status and the patriarchy of the situation. Is, you know, women like Cersei are saying, why can't I inherit Casterly Rock? Daenerys is saying, I am the next heir to the throne.
Right.
I don't care that I'm not a man.
People in Dorne that have
yes.
Marcella are
yeah.
saying, hey, the way we do it, women can
right.
be inherit the titles.
But then, of course,
everything's
you know,
changing.
The funny thing about that, of course, though, is, and this is why I enjoy this series, because, well, it's a bit more complicated than that, too, because, you know, that the Dornish way, yeah, does give women more power, but in the case of Marcella, that's she's still just being
yeah.
used as
yep.
a pawn in order to get what they want, you know. And so it's my hope that they all fail and die.
Yeah, it's
well, it is a George R. R. Martin
right.
book.
So right. yeah, they probably will.
One
yeah.
of the most fascinating things to me is the slow burn of the machinations that are going on with Varys and Littlefinger. And when you start to see it in glimpses here and there, and you're starting to see it in the show too. And you're realizing that things that were happening in the very first book, or even in the first chapter of the first book, are actually, were set in motion for a reason. And one of the biggest things that has fucked up all these plans is when Joffrey chopped off Ned Stark's head. And that him making that rash, impulsive, sociopath decision at, as a, you know, 12-year-old king has completely undone like 10 years of work. And it's, I love seeing how it can all just fall apart. And I think that House of Cards is similar to that. That's one of the things, the reasons I like it.
The other day I was in the car with my boyfriend and I was complimenting him on planning something. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but he was like, "That's right." I'm like, "I'm basically like Frank Underwood, you know, from Game of Cards." And I was like, "I think you're confusing two shows. It's House of Cards, and by the way, it's called House of Cards because shit falls down eventually."
Yeah, right.
Tenuous.
So I'm just gonna. We don't have a lot of time left, unfortunately, for a very broad topic. But do you guys want to talk a little bit about how religion plays a role in
this series?
Yeah, let's
talk about it. The primary religion of where the majority of the books and shows taking place so far, Westeros, is the seven.
Yeah, there's seven gods. It's mother, maiden, crone, warrior, smith, father, and the stranger.
Wow.
Well done. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I mean,
you could totally make some money on Jeopardy.
The aspects of women being, of course, not having had a baby, having had a baby, and being too old to have babies, because that's the most important things. And with men, it's having children, being a strong warrior, and I don't know. I like
making shit.
Yeah. Right? And then they never mention, they don't talk about the stranger that's like the devil or, I mean, you know, spit between your fingers when you mention it, kind of superstition surrounding it. What else? There's the old gods.
Yeah. I like how the seven does perfectly reflect that patriarchal sort of misogyny. Yes. And I also like, there's the old gods. There's,
which is like Norse kind of pagan-y, it feels. Yeah. Yeah.
And, once we follow Arya to, whatchamathingy?
Bravos.
Thank you.
Bravos.
Yeah. House of the Black and White.
Bravos. That, you know, there's all of these different religions, and there's also the people who just mash them all together, kind of like what we see happening with, you know, like voodoo, Catholicism sort of stuff, where Santeria. You take a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. Some people think, well, it's all the same with different labels. And one of the things I really like about this world is that even though there's obviously magic, a lot of the people who haven't read the books are like, really though? Because come on.
No, that was, she birthed that shadow from between her legs and it didn't go murder people. Like, that happened.
It's few and far between, but it's there. And it does sort of start to ramp up, you know, in the last book or two. But
well, it's because that comet. I mean, they don't really talk about it as much in the show, but that a red comet goes across the sky and pretty much once that happens, like magic is back.
Dragons the cycle, who the fuck knows,
there's definitely magic in this world, but when it comes to religion, so far Martin has been completely agnostic, you know there's been absolutely no evidence that there is any kind of god,
because even Melisandre,
who's obviously like wrong about a ton of stuff,
it's
kind of hilarious how wrong she is.
She's there, her religion, the R'hllor worshippers, it's a monotheist, you know, there's our god and fucking everyone that's wrong.
I think of it as fire Jesus, because it's like the Lord of Light, and he will bathe us all in light and protect us from the horrors of the dark, and like that, this all makes sense to me in a world where there's no electricity, that like you would be very afraid of the night and the fires is what is holy, and that you know and then, but it is very much, it's kind of Jesus-y in that like one true Lord, and he encompasses all the other lords.
But she admits, like, oh no, like 99% of what I do is trickery.
Yeah, right? Like she shows him like powders and like this will make a fire turn green and freak a dude out real bad.
So and even she, like, when she becomes a POV character, you get to read her doubts and read her her inability to know actually what's happening.
Yeah, and you know, and when I was first just watching the show, I thought, oh, they're setting up dueling gods. There's going to be, you know, the fire god, and that's like good maybe, but then there's like this
like Dragon
cold
Lance
thing happening over here, and that's bad because those zombies are scary. But then the more you think about it, the more you read, it becomes a bit more complicated in that, you know, like Melisandre and Stannis are doing some not so cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, and you've got, when you think of things in terms of the fire and ice aspects, you eventually stop thinking, I think, of fire as the good, you know, you'd stop thinking of like Dany and the dragons as being necessarily this pure good, and you stop maybe thinking of the wildings and the, you know, and even maybe the others as being necessarily pure evil.
Yeah, it's all a balancing act. I think that's the takeaway. I mean, so far it's all balances when out.
The seven have their own murder zombie now.
Yeah, there's awesome. Lots of murder. There's murder zombies all up in this bitch.
And so, yeah, like at the end of the day, you know, again, there's just there's nothing in the books or the show to suggest that there's any kind of god behind any of the magic that's happening.
Yeah, it could just be magic and people are ascribing a god to it.
Yeah. Neil Gaiman style, everyone's right.
Yeah, and they're definitely ascribing motives that clearly don't exist.
Yeah,
for sure. That's an enjoyable aspect of the series. I think we're going to move on to our five questions.
Hooray.
Yay.
Wait a second.
Rebecca's
been on before.
I have
answered our five questions.
I studied for this test.
The tradition is now she asks us five questions.
So you're just going to make me do the work.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's how we roll.
All right. Well,
we're lazy atheists.
We do have to answer them.
Lucky for you.
We don't have that Protestant work ethic.
I have written down five very important questions.
Oh, thanks.
These have been burning a hole in my brain all day. I'm like, I gotta know the answers.
Lay them on us, lady.
All right, number one, which cosplay is the funniest cosplay to see done badly? I'm a huge fan of Fat Spider-Man.
I like, there's a class of gentlemen, the Sailor Bubba.
That's Moon?
Yeah, right, but like a Bubba wearing a Sailor Moon costume, that's always a pleasure to me.
I'm a fan of anytime a very, very hirsute man decides to dress in very small amounts of like lady clothing.
Yep.
I enjoy that. But I also, there was one last year that was just a guy who was the little man in the canoe. Yeah. He was in a pink fur canoe, and he was wearing a pink. It was amazing.
And encouraging people to rob him.
It was amazing. Yes, he was. Yeah. It was incredible.
I'm a big fan of anybody who likes tries to do like a robot costume with cardboard boxes, and they don't even bother to paint them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, there was an awesome moment.
It's like a ghetto robot. Yeah. I enjoy that.
Yeah. Okay. Number two, if you could be any parasite, what parasite would you be, and why? I choose fetus. Go.
God damn it, that's what I was going to say.
I don't want to be a fetus.
Human fetus.
Gross. Tapeworm.
Malaria, really, because I'm Minnesotan and I feel mosquitoes are kind of like Minnesota patriotic.
Yeah. Oh. I like to eat, so tapeworm.
fair enough.
That's good.
I'm going to say virus because they will eventually win.
Okay, All right, you're going with the whole kingdom.
I want to take over the world, and virus seems like the way to do it.
But I mean, you're just going
to be
like
AIDS.
Just generic virus. Like, you're not going
to
pick one.
No,
like
all of them. All the virus.
He wants to be the Tim Wick virus and infect everyone
like
with him.
Like Osmosis Jones.
Okay.
Oh. God damn it.
Remember Osmosis Jones?
No one remembers Osmosis Jones.
Why did you bring up that goddamn movie?
All right, question number three. Who's your favorite black character on Friends and why?
I'm going to say...
Mine is Aisha Tyler. You can't take her.
I've watched 3 episodes of Friends, and so I'm just going to say LeVar Burton.
No. Nope.
I don't want... I'm in a severe disadvantage beyond the... Because I don't watch Friends.
Is Monica Black Irish? I also am going to go with... Can I go with Aisha Tyler's like left boob? Because, like, I mean, can I have part of her at least? Like, it's not fair. You get all of Aisha Tyler.
I'm going to pick Joey because he might be dumb enough to be tricked into thinking that he's black.
Wow, all right.
No, we're not claiming that dumb son of a bitch.
We don't want him either.
Nobody
we don't want
him
either.
We just heard from Dr. Rubidium. Ray's still here. Wow.
Where did you come from?
Poof.
Ray,
oh my God, Rebecca, you can't ask that.
Ray, who's your favorite black character on Friends and why?
I didn't watch Friends.
Yeah, right?
Why not?
LeVar Burton, say LeVar
Burton.
Why
not? Because there weren't
back me up.
Because it was set in New York, but there wasn't one black person or Puerto Rican.
There was Aisha Tyler, right? God.
and
a friend.
She's fantastic.
God, what
as
do you want?
As a girlfriend of a friend.
Her name was Dr. Brittany Pandering.
What more do you want? You got Aisha Tyler.
Who's amazing.
She is amazing. I love her. I'm just secretly hoping she's listening to this.
Oakland
call
face
me.
With the L.A. booty.
Follow me on Twitter, Aisha, at Rebecca Watson. Question number 4. If you had to eat one Pokemon, which
like
wait.
Do you need me to read this off?
Crying. My
There's no way this is going to be as funny as you think it is.
I know. My eyeliner's running. If you had to eat one Pokemon, which one Pokemon would you eat and how would you cook it?
That answers my question.
Yeah. So I would take a Magikarp. And I think like just like lemon and butter and tinfoil on the grill, maybe like a cedar plank.
Yeah.
Just like real traditional carp, Magikarp. Yeah.
I'm going with a slow roasted Snorlax because I like a fatty meat.
Yeah. They'd be good in chili, I bet.
I would.
Oh, I get it.
I mean, just because it's already in the name, I would probably just really finely grind up Jigglypuff and mix it with some cream and maybe even a little bit of gelatin and make sort of a breakfast pastry.
Oh, like molecular gastronomy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Jigglypuffs are narcotic. Like I think they would.
Like they have a lot of tryptophan.
Yeah. You would.
Tryptophan's
you'd be
not
asleep.
A narcotic.
God, Ray, why don't you just shut up?
I didn't say tryptophan. She said tryptophan.
The chemist is still here.
Why can't you offer...
Polluting our podcast with facts. What is going on?
Why can't you offer constructive facts, like
sorry,
naming a
sorry.
Black person on Friends? God.
Nick, tryptophan is not the reason that you didn't finish college. It's a different thing.
Different drugs.
Okay, final question. When the zombie apocalypse comes, which person do you hope turns first so you can stab them?
Person, any person?
Any person, present company included.
I hope she's not ever going to listen to this podcast because it would be my mother-in-law.
Oh, man.
Because the thing is, she would turn into a zombie and she wouldn't come to kill us. She'd just keep calling. And it would be like, you'd pick up the phone, you'd be like, hi, Nancy Brains. It's like, yes, I know, Nancy, thank you. And
so who do I wish I could murder? Like, that's really the question.
There's zombies.
Like,
ethically, though.
There's zombies, so it's
all dead.
I know,
yeah.
But the question is, who do I want to be able to ethically murder?
Yeah.
I am going to just describe her in general terms. General terms. The woman who tells me that my dog is barking. When my dog is barking, yes, I know he's a dog. I can hear him too.
I'm on
pointing
that.
Pointing doesn't help.
I'm on that lady's side.
We're outside.
Your dog's annoying, man.
Yeah, Rebecca can hear that dog from
wherever.
That's actually
Rebecca
me.
Lives.
I was the one saying,
did
"Shut
you
your dog up."
Did you know your dog is barking?
There's a guy I work with who alternately work my little cube is like 8 feet away from the microphone or microwave the other micro thing micro penis no microwave
it's not 8 feet away
eight
from
feet
that.
Away from the micro penis and I
it's like 6'3"
I think
it gets slightly closer. Never
I think
mind.
on even days he microwaves like some super greasy pork of some kind, which makes me feel really nauseated. And then on odd days he microwaves really pungent fish.
Ooh. Is it a Magikarp? You should never microwave a Magic Carp.
It's fried. And
microwaves fried fish. Yes, you heard that.
And so all day long, I get to, you know, for half my day, I get to just sit and smell fish. I think him. I think I'd pick him.
Okay. I'd like to murder him too because he makes my life miserable by proxy. Because
I never stop complaining about it.
Every day.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. Well, also, I mean, he could work harder.
Not if he's a zombie.
Wait, hold up. I want to kill Michelle Bachmann instead of my dog.
We all want that dog lady.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I changed my mind. I just remembered that she still exists.
She might already be a zombie, though. I'm not sure.
Oh, so I can kill her right now, is what you're saying. You guys heard it. Rebecca Watts went to murder Michelle Bachmann.
This went to a bad place, and yeah. I apologize.
I don't know. It doesn't sound that bad to me, but...
she's dead.
FBI, just kidding. Was that five, right?
I think we've just proven that atheists have no morals, though.
Yeah.
Shit.
I have my own morals.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Rebecca Watson, for coming back again and for bringing your five questions with you.
Yeah.
People can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, at Rebecca Watson.
At Rebecca Watson. Mm-hmm. Anything else we should be checking out?
Skeptic.
Skeptic.
Skeptic.org. Yeah, we do stuff.
The Sorbocast still happening? Is that happening?
I haven't done Sorbocast in a long time, actually. But
I tell people about it because I really love that idea.
After that last movie, what can you say about?
It's a lot.
Yeah, probably still a lot.
We're gonna keep trying to get him on the phone. We'll do a follow up.
It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll happen.
If you pray hard enough. Awesome. Well, thanks. We're Geeks Without God. Again, we're recording live at Convergence 2014. Thanks, everyone, for coming to see us live.
Thank you. We love you.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Yay!
Insert joke. Nick was too lazy to make himself here.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Was that a cunt joke?
It is.
Yeah.